You have your mic on.
Good evening. On Monday night, if anyone was there, I told them that I've been noticing this thing with different people. And when I say with different people, I mean the people that come to see me privately, some of the things that stand out the most and what a theme that seems to be going through things. And one of the themes on Monday that I talked about that I noticed, and we'll talk about just a moment, is this whole idea of appreciation. And most people do not feel appreciated. They don't feel appreciated on their job. They don't feel appreciated by their boss. They don't feel appreciated by their partner. They don't feel appreciated by anything in their life. And they're waiting for somebody to appreciate them. Well, I said on Monday night, hogwash. You have to appreciate yourself. Don't be standing around waiting for somebody to appreciate you. I'm not getting the job. No one appreciates me. I'm not getting a raise on my job because I'm not appreciated. Well, if you're not appreciated, it has to be something that you're doing. You're saying, yeah. This thing of waiting for somebody else to give you a compliment or to say, I appreciate you, you better give up. You may go the rest of your life or throughout eternity without ever hearing somebody appreciating you. So you have to sit and learn to appreciate yourself. And learn to see your own value and your inner value and so forth. And we always have to go back to, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And that I'm a wonderful human being, that I'm connected to this whole thing that we call God. Therefore, I am appreciated. To start out the premise that you're appreciated, you have to realize, well, I'm here on this plane of action. I didn't come here exactly on my own. Something had to create me to come here. And it had to appreciate me enough to create me, to want me to be here on this plane of action so it could work in, as, and through me. So therefore, I am appreciated. And that's what you want to go to, this whole idea of raising your consciousness to a higher level, to where you're thinking differently instead of staying earthbound all the time. I'm thinking that this is the only thought that you can have. Human beings, so to speak, must appreciate me. Otherwise, nothing is happening. Hogwash. This thing we call God appreciates you. Move up in consciousness. Move out of this world-bound consciousness to a higher consciousness where you can see that. If you'll remember some time ago, I said the whole idea about the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and everyone gets that on this plane of action. They say, oh yes, because you act just like your father, or you have this characteristic, so the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But you have to raise yourself up in consciousness and realize that God is the tree, you're the apple, and you don't fall. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It has exact same qualities as God. We have to remember this type of thing. Remember, didn't Jesus say, God is the vine, not we are the grapes? You know, we're connected to this whole thing. So stop thinking that you have to be appreciated on this earthbound plane and with this earthbound mind that people have. You may be, and it would be nice. It would be nice to be appreciated. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, it's not necessary. If you can move your consciousness up to where it really matters, you see, then you know that. But we want to prove something all the time on this plane of action instead of proving something on this plane of action. How many times have you done something here on this earth plane, this earthbound plane, somebody accused you of something that you didn't do? And you want to prove that you didn't do that. And running around trying to prove it. Instead of realizing, on this plane of action, God already knows you didn't do that. So why are you wasting your time? You see? Can you understand that? So when these thoughts and all this stuff happens, say, listen, I'm earthbound here. and my thoughts are earthbound, and I'm going to move my thoughts past that. You see, thoughts are not governed by gravity, people. Thoughts can go right up, and they go right up. So see that in yourself, and then know and sit down and say, it doesn't matter. It would be nice, but I can function and get what I want out of life by learning to love myself, by learning to know that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. This always has to be the foundation of your thinking. Once you get that foundation of that thinking, then it doesn't matter if people appreciate you or don't appreciate you. You know who you are. You have to know who you are, what you are doing, and what we are all doing is we're allowing somebody else to tell us who we are. Another person does not know who you are. I don't care if you live with them for 20 years. They know a great deal about you, and they may know 90% or 99% of you, but they don't know 100% of you. Only you know that. Only you know that. So you have to learn to do it for yourself and like yourself. And then relationships will work out much better. Instead of always trying to get something from somebody else, give it to yourself. And then you are the one that can go out and say, I appreciate you. Instead of saying, my job does not appreciate me, my boss does not appreciate me, go in and say, I appreciate the job that I have. And why do I appreciate the job? Because it's paying me a great deal of money. And that with that money, I'm able to do this, that, and the other thing. You see, it's just that reverse type thing. It's like the St. Francis prayer, remember. Pray that for understanding, not that I am understood. Pray to appreciate people, not that I am appreciated. Reverse it. Otherwise, it's an endless journey going nowhere. If you're out trying to run, that's like the dog trying to catch its tail. You may get it and you may not. But don't waste your time in life thinking that no one appreciates you. You have to do that for yourself. And you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes, well, really nice, because I just wanted to bring up appreciation, because that's not what we're going to talk about tonight in this class. But I wanted to bring that in so that the people that don't come on Mondays, so that we can keep this whole thing going, because that's a very important point to remember for yourself, you know. And we're just taught differently, and we allow this mind of ours to tell us that that is so important, that that is so important. And it's not important to be appreciated by other people. What is important is for you to learn to appreciate yourself. That is the thing. And there is where the power is. You see, remember, I tell you, life is an inside job and it's a do-it-yourself project. You have to do this stuff for yourself. The world is not going to do it for you, and most people are not going to do it for you, because they don't appreciate themselves, so how are they going to appreciate you? You see? So learn to do this and learn to train your mind to bring those good qualities about yourself up so that you can use that in your life to make your life better. Now, I started this whole thing by saying I've noticed different things, different themes that keep coming up with people that come privately to me. And the other thing that I notice that comes up is people will say to me, well, you know, I'm very sensitive. You know, I'm just so sensitive. Well, here again I'm going to say hogwash. Years ago, Betty, you'll often hear me talk about my friend Betty. She was a wonderful friend of mine. And we learned metaphysics together and shared many things. She was a great reader of Krishnamurti. And she sent me a book. It wasn't Krishnamurti. I have no idea what the title of the book was. but it was written by like a Methodist minister, a Presbyterian minister, or anything. And the whole idea of that was this idea of being sensitive and to pray to God not to be so sensitive. We are here to be sensitive, but not that sensitive where we cannot live life. And what we do is we hide behind our sensitivity. And we use our sensitivity for excuses for everything under the sun. Not, well, you don't understand that I'm very sensitive. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I feel, I'm really feeling. Well, absolutely. And I will stand for this every time. Feelings are the life of the organism. But you have to be able to produce your own feelings when and where you want those. You have to stop this thing of saying, I am so sensitive. Because if you're so sensitive, you're not going to get anywhere in this world. Now, why are people so sensitive? Because somebody said something to them. And it was the words they used, you know. Well, words, of course, structure thought. We know that. And words have power, absolutely. But they only have the power that you give them. And words change over time. Therefore, the power that they have changes over time. I was watching earlier today an old rerun of The Golden Girls. And, of course, that mother uses the word slut all the time. They call that one character a slut all the time. Today, there she comes. Hello. Nice to see you. Today, that word does not have the power that it used to have. We throw that around to anybody, and everyone laughs or something, you know. And it doesn't have the power. Years ago, we would have never used that word. The other word I remember when I was growing up, and it was in my teenage years when I learned there was such a word that started with an F, and it was absolutely, you were not allowed to use that word. That was an absolute word that would, all kinds of things were happening. I'll never forget the first time that came out of my mouth. I cringed because I absolutely thought that a lightning bolt would come down from heaven and get me for using that word. Now that word has lost all power whatsoever. Everyone uses that word. I was with an 83-year-old woman, and that word came out of her mouth. We use that word constantly now. It has no power whatsoever.
What word is it?
Which everyone uses. So you see, words change over time. So if you know that words change over time, and you know that words have power, we're talking about sensitivity. And so many people say, oh, I'm so sensitive and I can't get my work done and this on the job. You don't understand. Everything upsets me. I'm just a very sensitive person. It's wonderful to be sensitive, but you cannot be that sensitive where it hinders your life. So in this book that I was talking about, it stated in there to pray to this thing that we call God not to be so sensitive. And to be able to get over some of this sensitivity. Which makes absolute sense because it also says in the Bible, you were born with a spirit of boldness, not shyness, not sensitivity, but a spirit of boldness. And we must be bold about these things. Now, don't give up sensitivity, but learn to see it for what it is worth. We wouldn't have the wonderful literature, the music, and so forth, if it weren't for sensitive people. I'm not taking that away. What I'm taking away is this excuse that people are always using for their life and why something didn't happen. Well, you know, I'm just so sensitive, and that person upset me, and this upset me, and that, because I'm so sensitive. You know, I feel things more than anybody else. And I always want to say, so what? So what? Yes, we want to learn how to feel. Feelings are the life of the organism. The whole idea in life is to learn to feel everything and to be sensitive to everything, but not that sensitive where you're absolutely paralyzed by it. Mm. Where you're absolutely paralyzed by it. And people use it as an excuse, and they use it as a shield to stand behind, so that, oh, I can't do that because I'm too sensitive. I can't do this because I'm too sensitive. And many people use it as a badge of courage. Oh, you know, I'm a sensitive person. You can't do this to me. You can't do that. I'm sensitive. Everybody's sensitive. Everybody's sensitive. So you have to look at your own mind and see what it's doing to you. You see, you're creating these things. We're creating this stuff. You can't go around all your life and every day saying, I'm sensitive, and not become sensitive, or what we're going to call oversensitive. Who wants to live that way? Yet many people do. And what do most sensitive people do? They're either in constant therapy, or they're constantly taking pills, or they're doing a combination of the two. And they're always blaming it on, oh, it's because I'm so sensitive. Things upset me so easily. Things upset me so easily. Astra asked me tonight if I were sad because of Aunt Catherine's transition. And I'm not sad. I am not sad about that. Now, I could choose to be very sad. I could choose to be very sensitive, and I could get away with it because I talked about Aunt Catherine enough in this thing that you people would think, oh, that must have destroyed Dallas. And I could allow that to destroy me. But I'm choosing not to do that. To do that would not be honoring Aunt Catherine, nor would it be honoring me, nor would it be honoring you, or would it be honoring this teaching. You see. So, we honored her life. We celebrated her life. And yes, there is a feeling of loss. And every day so far, I have said something nice to Aunt Catherine. That will probably continue. But sadness, no. I do not feel sadness. Perhaps I'm choosing not to feel sadness because of my belief that life goes on. And that Aunt Catherine now is a part of everything. So we have to choose those things. We cannot allow what happens to us on this plane of action to destroy us. We are not here to be destroyed. We are here to be triumphant. We are here to be triumphant. We came to this plane of action to learn how to do that. To learn how to overcome. To overcome our own feelings, to overcome this thing that we call, oh, I'm so sensitive. I can't do it because I'm so sensitive. And how many people do you know in your own life who use that and you hear that constantly, that they're sensitive? But to the point where they're not getting what they want out of life. You see, now it's no good, is it? You see, if you're not getting what you want out of life and you're blaming it on because I'm so sensitive, you see, there's something funny there. Something funny. It's like being shy. Yes, there are shy people, but you can learn to overcome your shyness and you can overcome this idea of being sensitive. People say, oh, actors are so sensitive, creative people are so sensitive. That's absolutely right. But they're not that sensitive that they can't act, are they? You see, they need that sensitivity. We all need that sensitivity. I'm talking about people who stop functioning in life because they're so sensitive to everything. Everything upsets them, you see. You can't have that. You can't do that to yourself in life. We're here with a spirit of boldness in us. We have a wonderful spirit inside of us. Do you think that that spirit isn't sensitive? Yes, that spirit is sensitive. But you cannot destroy that spirit, can you? But yet, people become so sensitive to everything that they destroy their bodies with it. And they destroy their thinking with it. And this is what we're talking. You don't want that. So, be sensitive. But not that sensitive that you can't function. And if you're at the present moment, think you're that sensitive, then pray. not to be that sensitive. Pray for understanding. Pray for awareness instead of sensitivity. And don't use it as an excuse in your life for not getting what you want from life or not going to where you want to go by saying, oh, I'm sensitive. That's only your mind throwing that up to you. That's your mind throwing it up, and you're buying into it, and you're around other people who say that. You say, that's the type of sensitivity that I'm talking about. So many people are absolutely think that that is a wonderful quality. They think that's a wonderful quality. It's a wonderful quality to be sensitive. We're all sensitive. But it's not a wonderful quality when that sensitivity immobilizes you. Then it's no longer a nice quality. But we fall for that all the time. And I see people do that. So that is two of the items that I see a theme going with people. The other one, you came late. The first one was appreciation. So many people want to feel appreciated. They don't feel appreciated. And we have to appreciate ourselves. And the other theme running through my people is, oh, I'm so sensitive. You know, I am so sensitive. I'm sensitive to everything. Then they come right down the line with that. They're also sensitive to anything that happens in their body. If they take a drug, if they take this, if they take anything, you know, I'm sensitive to that. I'm sensitive to this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They just completely, you've probably been around people like that. Oh, I can't take that. My body's too sensitive for that. May be true. But you can pray not to be so sensitive, because it's not going to get you anywhere in this life. And it's not why we're here on this plane of action. It is not why we're here to be sensitive. I have some cards. I've been home recently cleaning out drawers and finding, you know, tons of my 3x5 cards that I wrote hundreds of years ago. But some of them, this one I've always loved. Just because most of the world ignores the law and schools and universities do not teach it, does not mean it does not exist. You see, and many people think that. You see, I know tons of people, well, show me a school that teaches this, show me a university where this is taught and so forth. And it's not, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. My consciousness of God as me always becomes form. My consciousness of God as me always becomes form. What does that mean? My consciousness of God. What are you thinking about God? What consciousness do you have about God? And then that becomes form. But that has to start within you again. And that has to start with the whole idea, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. You build that consciousness, that will become form, you see. And God certainly knows those things about itself and about you. But we have to do that in our own minds. We have to do that on our own minds. So my consciousness of God as me always becomes form, you see. You cannot get away from that. I invest time seeing perfection, not fact. Reality, not form. God, not personality. And it's that last one that we have trouble with. God, not personality. That's the idea of seeing the divinity within everyone. That's the idea of being able, to separate the act from the actor, you see. And we have to be able to do that. So, I invest time seeing perfection. Learn to see perfection everywhere, especially in your own life. You see, we like to look outside of ourselves and think that somebody else is perfect or think that something else is perfect. You have to see perfection in your own life and in your own self. I was telling this story on Monday night. I said, if anyone has been to my home will realize that I have a few mirrors. And I, as I passed by those mirrors, different reflections and different things happened. So the other day I was passing by one of my mirrors, and the reflection in the mirror said, "Well, you don't look very good today." I immediately stopped it, and I went back to the mirror and I said, "That's not right. That's not true. That is not the reflection that I want to see. Correct that immediately." You see, if you're up in the morning, if you look in the mirror and you go, "Oh, I don't look good," or this, or "I have a wrinkle, I have this," you can't do that to yourself. You have to look in that mirror, and you have to see the reflection that you want to see. It's your mind that's doing it. It's not the mirror, people. It's your mind that's doing that. So my mind was trying to tell me that I wasn't feeling good that day. Now, that may have been a fact, but that was not the reality, and I would not allow it to tell me that. You see, you can't allow your mind to tell you those things. You cannot allow your mind to get away with it. So I could have passed by and said, "Oh, well, that was just a little thing. It didn't matter." But I immediately went right back to that mirror, and I looked in that mirror and I said, "That's a lie. That's an out and out lie," and I corrected that immediately. So when you see that, and how many times are you driving along in the car or something, and you'll have a thought, "Oh, I'm not too good today." And you say, "Oh, well, that's only one little thought." You have to correct that immediately. You have to correct yourself immediately. Remember, you must never allow your mind to win. You must never allow your mind to win. You have to correct it. And it loves to do those little devilish things to you, you see. It loves to tell you something and think, "Aha, I'll get him this time. He's really not feeling well today, so I'm just going to slip that in and see if he'll bite." You can't. You think of your mind as a fishing pole with a lure on it. And that always your mind has the little bomb, the little lure going on to see if you are going to bite. Don't bite. It throws all kinds of little things at you, and you grab a hold of them. What's the one thing bobbing all the time? This little bob is saying, "I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. Yes, I'm right." No, you fell for the bob. It lured you right into it. It lured you right into it. Does that make sense? Can you understand that? So think of what, it's always, think of that little lure going on out there. Your mind is fishing, and it's trying to bait you in all the time. Don't open your big mouth and take it. Don't do it. Say, "Oh, I see that. But I'm smarter than that. I see what you're trying to do." This is true. This is what the mind does. So, see perfection. But see perfection in yourself. See perfection in yourself. And then see not fact, but reality. Remember? And that's the one that gets people. The fact is that my bank account may be low, but the reality is that money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. You must go to the other side. You must see the reality. The fact is the little bob going up and down. Are you going to grab a hold of it? If you do, what are you? You're hooked. Now you're hooked with that fact. It's a big hook. Sometimes it takes you all day to wiggle that hook out of the side of you. It takes you all day. See reality, not form. And then see God, not personality. See God in everything and in everybody. And yes, people are going to do dumb things to you. I told you the story about a woman in Unity, and she was about 83 years old. Can't remember her name now. And she told me this whole thing about seeing the divine within somebody. She said, "You know, I can see the divine in somebody, even though sometimes they're acting like a rotten son of a bitch. Because that's the acting, but behind that is the divinity. And that's what we want to see. We don't deny. You don't deny those facts. You don't deny that that person's acting and saying, oh, well, I see God. Yes, you see the God, but you don't. That behavior is not appropriate. The behavior is not appropriate. You don't condone that behavior. I'm not telling you to condone that behavior. And I'm not telling you that fact is not a fact. It is a fact, but it is not the reality. It is not the truth behind something. It's merely a fact. It's a fact right now that real estate housing market is going down. That's merely a fact. People are still selling houses. The economy is still going. Money is still freely circulating. So think of those things and then realize, what is the main thing to realize when the whole world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket and all this stuff is happening on your job or wherever it's happening and everyone's talking about it? Yeah, those four things. But the other thing is to realize, oh, thank God I don't live in that universe. Thank God I don't live in that universe. If you want to join that universe, then join it. You say, I watch television and I watch it as a Martian always. I look at it and I say, well, I don't know anyone like that. Oh, I don't eat that food. Oh, I never buy that product. Oh, I don't understand that. Oh, I don't think. I go, huh, nothing on there has anything to do with me whatsoever. And I go, I must be a Martian watching it. Don't you see it? Yes, watch it. Does it have anything to do with you whatsoever? That's a different universe. You can be at work. That's a different universe. Those people who are clicked together like that, the idea of birds of a feather flock together, and they're on pills, they're on whatever they're on, you see. Whatever they're on. You do not have to make that your universe. So if you're not living in that universe and you're living in a universe, your universe, where real estate is perfect, where you have the right and perfect customers, where everything is selling, where money is always flowing, then that's your law, your reality, and that's what will happen to you. But the world is convincing it. It wants to suck you in to that dream that they're having of their reality and their universe. Don't be caught in their universe. You don't have to be caught in their universe. I know that the divine spirit of God is within me, and this spirit draws out the best in me and also draws the best to me. That's what you have to know. The Spirit of God is in you, and it is drawing the very best out of you, and it is drawing the very best to you, you see. We all are changing. We all are growing, and we're growing in this thing called God. We will grow and grow and grow till we finally realize that. Till we become what we really are. That's what it's all about. Becoming what you really are. So know that. Don't get down on yourself. Know that the very best is being drawn out of you at all times. And that very best is drawing the very best to you. Some people say, oh, I have such a crappy life. Well, yes, you have a crappy life because you keep telling yourself you have a crappy life and you keep drawing that crap to you. Don't be doing that to yourselves, people. You know, yes, don't do it. I have the power to realize my heart's desire. I believe in my own ability to succeed. I have the power to realize my heart's desire. I believe in my own ability to succeed. You have to believe in yourself and your ability to succeed. People want God to help them with that. God cannot help you with your ability to succeed if you think you have no ability to succeed. God only matches, the universe only matches what you were thinking about yourself. It is not going to move you off of that. You have to move yourself off of that. That's the little job that you have. You have to move yourself. And people are sitting around waiting for God to move them. God is working in, as, and through you. In, as, and through you, as you, you see. And if you don't think that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, God is not going to change your mind. You have to change your mind about that. So you have to do that every day for yourself and see that. How many people are still doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me every day? You have to know that you're wonderful. Bring that out in you. That's absolutely essential. In the face of any, I love this one. In the face of any of your own dismal thoughts, stop and remember you are part of the divine. In the face of any of your own dismal thoughts, stop and remember you are part of the divine. How many times do we allow ourselves to go down the tube? We allow this mind to just tell us one thing after the other. When we do that, we throw God right out the window. We throw God out the window. We forget, oh my goodness, wait a minute here. I am a divine creature. This thing called God and I are one and the same thing. All that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is. We have to remember that. And we do. I love that word, dismal thoughts. We have dismal thoughts, don't we? Mm. And we have to change those thoughts. We have to change those thoughts. See, we're always growing, and we have to grow in our own strength and our own knowledge of who we are and our own ability to be able to see the movements of our mind. We have to be able to see the movements of our mind and realize, look what this mind is up to now. And I know I am not my mind. I am much more than that, and I have control over my mind. We have to tell ourselves that constantly. Everyone here has a computer. They use a computer. When you sit down at the computer, say, this is my mind, and I'm the one that's using it. I'm the one that's throwing up the things on the screen. You look at a computer screen, it doesn't throw up. You're not worthy, does it? If it does, you've typed it in. So if your mind throws up you're not worthy, who typed it in there? You did. You typed it in. So learn to type in what you want to come up on the screen of your mind. What you want. And when you're having these dismal thoughts, when you're having these things that you thoughts of yourself or the business or whatever you're having that doesn't sound quite right, put them out here in front of you and look at all these thoughts. Instead of saying, they're in here somewhere, you can move them out to, my God, look at that one. I don't like 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 that one. Get rid of them. Get rid of those thoughts. This is becoming a witness to your own thinking. This is realizing that you're not your thinking. You are not your thoughts. They're just thoughts. But if you put power and invest in them and your intention in them, they become things. They become things. But if you don't breathe life into them, they cannot live. They cannot live. You're the one that's creating them. And you create them by breathing life into them. And you breathe life into them by giving them your attention. You give them power. You start to make them real. And then they come and dwell among you. And you must withdraw your attention from them. As soon as you withdraw your attention from your thought, it immediately dies. It immediately dies. But then we love to resurrect it one more time, don't we? well, let's think about that again. It comes right back up again. Once it's dead, let it be dead. Let it alone. Don't be picking at things. Pick, pick, pick. Yes, don't do that. Allow things to die. Allow them to go out of your life. And you do that by withdrawing your attention. One of the things, besides realizing that you are not your mind, one of the more difficult concepts for people to grasp is you can only think one thought at a time. You can only think one thought at a time. So if your mind wants to tell you that you're not worthy, you can sit and change that to, I am worthy, I am worthy, I am worthy, I am worthy, I am worthy. Now, as you do that, remember what Emmett Fox said. Think of a nail, and here's the thought, I am not worthy. You keep saying, I am worthy, I am worthy, I am worthy, I am worthy, and you push that nail right out the other side. You can do that. You're a carpenter. You've seen carpenters. If you put one nail on top of the other one, doesn't the other one go phew, right out? And then you have replaced that with the thought that you want to, that you want in your life. This teaching, very easy, very simple, but it takes dedication. It takes diligence. You have to do it over and over till you learn what's going on inside of you. That's the repetition. That's why you do affirmations. Till those affirmations take place. Till they really sit inside of you. So then when you look at your bank balance, you say, ha! Money's always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time. You have to make that come up in your head. Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. Learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And don't put a precedent on principle. Principle meaning God. Meaning what God has done before. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen again. That's living in this world. And that's what happens in this world because we say, oh, that always happens that way. That's just the way it is. You've taken all possibility out of it. You have to say, yes, well, I did that once and this happened, but it does not have to occur that way again, unless you believe it. That's how people get themselves into the same relationship just constantly, you see. How many people do you know that are they're in the same relationship? The face has just changed. The face of the person has just changed, but it's the same relationship. Because you have to know that it doesn't have to be that way. You see, God makes all things new. All things are possible with God. God doesn't just keep repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself. If that were true, we would all look alike. You see, we would all look alike. So you have to think of those things. When you're sitting, trying to expand your consciousness, you have to be able to make your mind realize things. First of all, if God repeated itself, everyone would look alike. Now, all the billions and trillions of people that have been on this planet since day one, not one person ever looked like another person. So therefore, we know there's tons of variety and tons of possibilities, don't we? Of all the snow that ever fell, there's not one snowflake that was ever the same. So now, isn't that possibility? Yes, now see, that's true. Your mind can accept that right away. That's how you build a consciousness. You see, your mind can't lie out of that one, can it?
No.
See? It cannot lie out of that. You have to build a consciousness by finding an argument with your mind that it cannot argue you out of. Remember, you must argue with your mind like a judge before, like a lawyer before the judge, and you must make sure that you always win. So you have to pick things. And how many times in private consultations with people, I will say something and they will say, yes, but. And their mind immediately starts to refute what I just told them. But you, in your own mind, do the same thing. So you always have to come up with something that your mind cannot refute. It cannot refute the idea that all the snow that has ever fell on this planet, that there's one snowflake that looked alike. You see, it cannot refute that. So you have to find things in your life that your mind cannot refute. You see, and you do that with your business, you do that with everything, so that you don't fall into that category of, oh, it's always been like this, it'll always be that way, and da 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 da, whatever you're doing. You see, you have to break that type of thinking. But those are these are exercises in stretching your consciousness so that you see that. You see, so that you see that. You see? The world loves to tell you that. It always is going to tell you 9 out of 10 do this. You know. Or this disease always progresses this way. Why? You see, you have to say to yourself, well, up till now it has. But there has to be other possibilities here. If no snowflake has ever looked alike, then why does this disease have the power to always do the same thing? Always do the same thing. But you have to start with a premise that your mind cannot refute. So find things your mind cannot refute. Okay? The power of self-directed consciousness is the natural result of observing ourself in a positive way, and then observing ourself. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah.
Shall I read it one more time?
Yeah. Yeah.
The power of self-directed consciousness is the natural result of observing ourself in a positive way, and then observing ourselves. Now, I often, in order to do that, I just put my hand up here and I pretend I'm back here. Now I can see Dallas, and I can see the workings of my mind, and I'm going, oh, but Dallas, that is not what you want. Here's Dallas. This Dallas doesn't want that. Okay, let's change that thought. Let's change that. That's not who Dallas is. Does that help you? You see? It's called detachment. They've been talking about it for centuries. You have to detach yourself from your thinking. See yourself. See yourself over in the other corner. I always put it behind me, by the way. I never put it in front of me, myself. I always put it back here somewhere. But just put your hand up. See your... Yes. Oh, that's not what I... Oh, well, look at that. Say, wow, yeah. And you can see your mind. You can see how you're behaving. And you can change that thinking and that behavior just by detaching yourself. How many people get down on themselves if they've done something that they consider wrong? And they get down on themselves. And they're, oh, geez, I shouldn't have done that. Da, da, da. Over. Oh. You made the wrong thought, Dallas. You're all right. I'm over here. I'm having fun. Look at all that beautiful stuff out there. Oh, yes. Well, we can change that. Well, let's just forgive ourselves and change that. And then you change that. You change that. Mental world, people. So learn. Everyone's afraid of that word detachment. They think that that's a very mystical thing, and they use that as an Eastern philosophy, Buddhism or something. Attached, you have to be attached from yourself and attached from your thoughts. All that means is observing. All that means is noticing. But in order to do that sometimes, just say, whoops, nope, I'm over here. Don't connect yourself with this fact that you're living in. Don't connect yourself with this. This is not Dallas, what you're seeing. Lovely as it is, it's just not nice. Do that exercise. Very good. Is that clear now? This one? All right. Let's go to the next one. Give yourself... Oh, this one I... Oh, that goes on forever, but I'll read that one. Give yourself the suggestion. You are doing everything in your power, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, to make your desires reality. Give yourself that suggestion. Say, I'm doing everything I know how to do. And then do those things. Do physical, mental, spiritual. You see, physically, if you want to have a big, broad chest or something, you can say, ah, that is a desire of mine. But now you have to do something about that. You have to go to the gym and lift some weights, don't you? Because your body is not going to puff itself up without doing that. If you go to the gym and pick up the weights with the intentions of building your chest will build faster. Because where you put your attention, things grow. And if you want to prove to yourself faster than anything else that you have the power to create something and you have the power to change yourself, start with your body. Start with your body. Because the body has to respond to the mind. Once the body starts responding to the mind, you learn to train your mind to focus. So if you want a big arm and you're lifting those weights, you have to start seeing that and putting your energy there, your thought there, because where thought goes, energy flows. Many people say, oh, I lift weights, I go to the gym, and I don't... No, that doesn't seem to work. Well, what do you think about when you're there? Oh, I don't know, I think, oh, well, maybe this, maybe that. It's called focus. You have to have focus while you're there. And the people, you know the people in gyms who have focus, they bulk up. The people who don't go all the time, nothing happens. Or very little happens to them. In life, it requires focus. It requires your attention, you see. And then, things happen to you. So, give yourself the suggestion. You are doing everything in your power physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to make your desires reality. So that your mind does not say to you, you're not doing enough. The mind loves to tell you that you're not doing enough. You must say to yourself, I am doing everything physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually for my desire to come true. So don't allow your mind to tell you that you're not doing enough. You're always doing enough. You're always doing enough. Give yourself a suggestion that each and every moment of each and every day, you are more and more the person you wish to be. Each and every moment of each and every day, you draw nearer and nearer to accomplishing your goals. You have to know that you're accomplishing each day. You're getting closer to what you want. Each day you're becoming that person that you want to become, that you want to see. Do you have an image? Do you have an idea in your mind of who you want to be or what you want to be? Get an clear image of that. Then focus on that. And then do this with what? Do this with love. Do this with love. Love for yourself. Love for yourself. Knowing what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that you're a wonderful human being. And that this thing that we call God is in, as, and through you. Always wants to help you, is always there for you. Now, move your bloated nothingness out of the way so that this power can come through you and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Yeah. Next week is